AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Moncrief on News Talk.
After a brief and delicate ceasefire, fighting has again broken out between Cambodia and Thailand over an area of land that the two countries have both claimed ownership for decades. There are all sorts of geopolitical ramifications to that, but more immediate is the effect upon ordinary people living in that area. Colin Byrne, originally from Port Manok, is based in Cambodia and is CEO of Sea Beyond Borders Ireland. Good afternoon, Colin.
Hi, Sean. Good afternoon. Night time here. Good to be with you.
Could you describe for us the area that's affected by this fighting? Is it a fairly remote part of the country?
Sure, Sean. Yeah. Well, I live in Siem Reap in the north of Cambodia. It's further north to me. Provinces north of Siem Reap. It would be remote, and primary industries there would be rural. But there is a disputed land between Cambodia and Thailand. Recently that conflict has flared up, and with the displacement of over 100,000 Cambodians within Cambodia and a similar number in Thailand.
And 100,000 displaced, where do they go?
Exactly. Yeah, so many of them are moving to the province that I'm in, called Siem Reap, in shelters within towns. But it's very basic and a very sad situation.
Yeah, and these people, I assume, because fighting has broken out there before, have been displaced before, then perhaps decided to return home because they thought it was a bit safer.
Exactly. Bang on the money. So you might remember in July we had a fragile peace agreement agreed, but then that ceasefire was broken last week, and with the resumption of violence. So many of the people who left that area originally in July went down further south in the country and have now gone back to their area, only to be displaced again. And Cambodia, where I live, is a highly disadvantaged country. But the north of Cambodia, so Siem Reap and north of Cambodia, is the most disadvantaged area. Similarly, the people in Thailand and the south of Thailand will be among the most disadvantaged areas. So it's really affecting the most disadvantaged people in the poorest provinces in Cambodia.
Mm. Why are the two? Why are they disputing this area? Is there oil there or something like that?
Good question. It goes back to 1907 when Cambodia was a French colony, and France drew a line on a map dividing Cambodia and Thailand. And some of the temples within the Cambodian area, Thailand would see as theirs and would claim ownership of them. But it's been ruled by the International Court of Justice on two occasions that they're Cambodian land. And some of my Cambodian friends and my Cambodian boyfriend perhaps would have suspicions that Thailand are looking to make some inroads into Cambodia and have seen what other countries have done in terms of grabbing land. Thailand, of course, would deny that. But it's been disputed for over 100 years now, but it's certainly come to the surface this year. I've lived here in Cambodia 13 years now, and this would be by far the most prominence of a dispute that it's been during my time here.
Yeah. Now, and as I understand, the concern of your Sea Beyond Borders is particularly children. In terms of education in Cambodia, how do kids do?
Yeah, 100%. Our focus is education. And we focus on improving the education system. So there were 81 countries participated in PISA assessments, which is an international assessment around educational standards in literacy, maths and science. 81 countries participated. Cambodia came 81st. A large part of that, Sean, is because of Cambodia's unique history, with 90% of teachers being killed and the education system being completely wiped out by the Khmer Rouge regime. And today, Cambodian children are one of, if not the furthest behind in terms of education globally.
Yeah. So Is Cambodia able to provide even enough teachers to meet those needs?
No, it's not. So in the north of Cambodia, there's a high percentage of what we call unqualified teachers. So there are not enough teachers. And teachers are the bedrock of an education society. And the focus of our organisation is upskilling and mentoring teachers in primary schools. We focus on early grade primary schools deliberately because many or most Cambodian children do not finish school. And the reason they don't finish school is because they're not learning at school, can't do basic maths and literacy. So we focus on upskilling and mentoring the great teachers that are there and trying to upskill and empower them, all entirely led and done by my fantastic Cambodian colleagues who now obviously have their hands full with this situation compounding the situation that we already have in Cambodia.
Yeah. On average, what age then do kids leave school at?
It varies. So we're in the capital, Phnom Penh, the mean years of schooling, so the average length of schooling would be 8.7 years. Where I'm talking to you in Siem Reap, it's 4 years. In Oder Minchay, it would be similar. Now, that's counting the total adult population in terms of the length of time they spent in school. Children today spend in school a little bit longer, but the majority of children in the north of Cambodia wouldn't finish school, and they would go into the labor industry. They would work on farms, or historically, a lot of Cambodians would emigrate. You know, if you want to earn a higher salary, you go and work in Thailand, you go and work in Vietnam, and you send money back to your family in Cambodia. But the root cause of the inequality between Cambodia and the neighboring countries is education. You know, Cambodia has the lowest HDI, Human Development Indicator scores, of anywhere in the region. Cambodia and Laos, Cambodia the lowest. A huge reason for that is the education system here is so low, and because of that, there's lower income prospects, lower life prospects. But things are improving with the fantastic Cambodians at the heart of it, and there's now a young population here who are really striving to improve the education system and improve the quality of life. But it's really important, I think, with what's happening in the world at the moment, not just in terms of this crisis between Cambodia and Thailand, but what's happened with USAID, you know, funding gone way down in Cambodia from something like 135 million last year to 16 million this year, to cutbacks in the UK, cutbacks in Sweden, Switzerland. Thankfully, Ireland has maintained its international development assistance, and we're proud to be an Irish aid partner and an Australian aid partner. But we want and need more countries and more people to help support us on that mission.
Yeah, you can see how it's a kind of a vicious circle. If you come from a very poor family and you go to school, there's a certain amount of pressure to leave school and help the family by earning money. Therefore, you don't get much of an education. Therefore, what you can do when you enter the workforce is basic labouring at the most.
Yeah, 100%, Sean. But also, like, a lot of research would say the number one reason children drop out of school is because they are not learning in school. So if a child can't do basic numeracy or literacy by the time they're 10, then why don't they drop out of school? Because if they're not learning in school, if the teacher isn't supported to do her job or his job adequately, if they haven't finished school themselves or received adequate training, then there's little incentive for the child to stay in school. But, and it's an important but, if the teacher is highly capable and the students are learning in school, then the child is much, much more likely to finish school. And we know if they finish school and if they do well, then they're much more likely to have access to skilled employment. In Cambodia, you know, our economy here is very different to the economies in neighbouring countries, with it being mainly agricultural, tourism and garment industry, you know, stereotypically a low-skilled economy. The way of, you know, ensuring Cambodia's economy improves and society improves here more largely is an education. And sometimes an education, what that means is people. Sometimes there's a lot of money, unfortunately, sometimes goes into the wrong things in education, like school infrastructure, school buildings. Well, that's good. It's not what's most needed. What's most needed here is the human capital and to support the change-making Cambodian teachers that there are.
Yeah. And so I assume where the fighting is going on at the moment, all those schools are closed.
Correct. Yeah, actually, We work in schools in a province called Oder-Menché. We just started a project there in July, and schools throughout that province have been closed because of the fighting. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, you have absolutely no idea, no one has any idea, when they might be able to open again.
No, we don't. And yeah, it's a disconcerting situation, and a complication in a situation like this, particularly in a country like Cambodia, is it's very hard to get information around what's really happening, and very hard to have independent international media sources shining a light on what's happening. We don't know when it will end. We're obviously hoping that peace and a ceasefire breaks out. I think from a Cambodian perspective, it's very important that the situation is internationalized a little bit, in terms of that other countries are interested in what's happening in Cambodia and look to see if they can broker a ceasefire like the way the Malaysians did previously, because Cambodia is a small country. It's more vulnerable, to be honest with you, in many aspects than Thailand. It's obviously poorer, more disadvantaged. And Thailand has got a far stronger army, obviously far more populous country with its own disadvantages. But Cambodia certainly looking to the international community to help broker a deal.
Yeah, well, hopefully a deal will be brokered in the not too distant future. Colm, thanks a million for... this is a random question. It's nothing to do with what we're talking. What's Christmas in Cambodia like?
I love the question. Christmas in Cambodia is great. It's just a random day. Cambodia here is 95% Buddhism, Theravada Buddhism. So myself and my boyfriend will go for some chicken salad and maybe a couple of beers, and we'll enjoy the day. But it's a standard day, so it will be a good one.
Yeah, chicken salad doesn't sound bad at all. Colm, thanks a million for talking with us today. That was Colm Byrne there, CEO of Sea Beyond Borders Ireland, based in Cambodia.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.